Take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 5 together. I'll read aloud as you read silently. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word as we read the word of God together. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear it preached freely in this country we have. Now, Father, we ask that your power would rest upon our pastor this morning, anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power. But, Father, we had asked a special blessing for us that listen. Please help us today. Help us to learn. Help us to grow in grace. And Father, if there's one that does not know Jesus as their Savior, that today they'd learn about him and accept him and trust him to get them to heaven. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me ask you to double check and make sure all your electronic devices are on to vibrate or to off, please, so they won't go off during the service. I also ask that you'll sit now and listen carefully over these next few moments. Number three, I want to ask you to be in church tonight at 6 o'clock. I know what it means on Super Bowl Sunday. If you're sitting home watching television, watching football tonight, instead of being in church, God will kill you right where you're sitting. I get a dispensation, special dispensation. The death angel will pass over your house and drop you like third period French if you're sitting home watching the football game instead of being in church where you're supposed to be. Churches all across America are calling off their services tonight to watch the Super Bowl. That's ridiculous. TiVo it and watch it later. The truth is we need to be where we're supposed to be tonight. Yes? That's good. And if it's raining outside, remember this, it's not raining much in here. We did spring a bit of a leak, but other than that, we're all right. So unless you sit in the center section back there by Brother Mesa, you're going to be okay. So other than that, we'll be all right this morning, okay? Do you have a reservation? It's what they ask you when you go to a nice restaurant. Do you have a reservation? Walk up to the desk of a nice hotel, and they'll ask you, do you have a reservation? We're flying back from Chicago this week, and one of the flights was overbooked. They do that often today on airlines. They book more people than the plane can hold. Now, whoever came up with that brilliant idea, I have no idea. But when you've been delayed several times and you're supposed to take a four-hour flight that turned into 13 hours, you're not going to give up your seat to anybody. I thought, you know, I don't care where I'm going, pal, but I'm going to get on that airplane. A preacher friend of mine was trying to get on a flight once, and they were booked. So he leaned across the desk and he looked at the lady behind the counter. He goes, lady, I have to get on this flight. She said, sir, there isn't any room. He goes, ma'am, can I ask you a question? Would you want to miss your mother's funeral? And she said, well, of course not. He goes, I got to get on this flight. So she got him on the flight. Now, his mother didn't die. He just asked her the question, would you want to miss your mother's funeral? There are ways to do things. And he's a lawyer, too, by the way. But do you have a reservation? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Reserved in heaven for you. Now let me ask you again. Do you have a reservation? You see, you called ahead and you made plans. You called ahead and let them know that you're coming. Do you have a reservation in heaven this morning? Reserved in heaven for you. And I want you to keep your Bibles open. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture and talk about what is reserved in heaven for you. You see, if you're saved this morning, you have a reservation. And you didn't make it. Someone else made it for you. We took the Lord's Supper this morning and remembered the blood and the body of Christ today. But we remembered the person of Christ. See, Jesus made a reservation for you. He went to the cross 2,000 years ago and in mine and paid for our sins. On the cross, Jesus Christ died and paid a price. To get an advance reservation, nowadays you have to guarantee with a credit card or pay in advance. Jesus paid in advance for you. We sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Jesus made a reservation for us at Calvary. He died in our place and died in paying that penalty for us. He paid the price of redemption for us. But now wait a minute. And you make that reservation when you trust Christ as your Savior. That's a decision you have to make. You have to decide which. I woke up when I was in Seattle and then Sacramento and then Phoenix and then Chicago and back to Phoenix and back to Sacramento. I was in a couple different motels since Wednesday of this week. I woke up in the middle of the night one night. I thought, where am I now? What city am I in? And all I do is look outside and see it was Chicago, blowing snow horizontally, about 15 degrees, nasty. I was telling my Sunday school class this morning I had to get out there about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning to scrape the ice and snow off the car. And all you people that love snow, I wanted you with me so bad. I said, where are all these snow lovers? Where are all the snow bunnies? And I want to sit in the car with the heater on, let them scrape the snow off this stupid car. No, I'm out here in a light jacket with no gloves scraping the snow off this car at 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, so I have a reservation. See, the truth of the matter is, it's not yours until you make a reservation. Look here, Jesus paid the price. When you put your faith and trust in Christ for your salvation, your reservation is made now. You don't pay the price. He did. It's not what you do, it's what Christ did. It's not any payment you make, it's the payment Jesus made at Calvary in your place. He died for you. Then you trust Christ as your Savior. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, you know what, dear friend? There's a reservation in heaven for you. The Bible says, reserved in heaven for you. So is it when we get there, we cross over from this life to the next? Do we step up to a desk and does he ask us, do you have a reservation? No, you already have one. Your name is written in a book in heaven. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Guaranteed, friend. But what is it reserved in heaven for us today? Well, first of all, what's reserved in heaven for you today is a place. John 14 and verse 2, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's not some ethereal existence that's out there in the middle of nowhere with no understanding of it. It is a real place. Do you know and realize that if you're saved this morning, you have a place reserved in heaven for you. He has a place there for you. It's shame that in some of the modern versions, when it says, in my Father's house are many mansions, they change it to rooms. Now, can I ask you a question this morning? What sounds better to you? You have a room reserved or a mansion reserved this morning? Say, well, Pastor John, see, they took a look at the Greek and they're very carefully to determine and discern that it's talking about rooms. No, the Bible says mansions, friend. Rooms is a downgrade. It's a serious, serious downgrade. When we were in Africa with the fellows this past year and we were staying in a guest lodge, a guest house, as it were, we had rooms reserved. They were rustic. It was an African guest lodge. Slab floors. Little bitty cots about that wide with a foam pad on it. Little old sheet stretched over it. Mosquito net over the top of each of those little cots. After about a day or two of that, of praying for water to come out of the faucet. And no hot water, just water. After a day or two of that, these soft Americans asked the man, we'll pay for a motel room if you can just get us a motel room. Can you get us a motel room where we have to turn the faucet on and water comes out of the faucet? And we got we moved from the guest house to an upgrade. Never saw, and believe me, the motel wasn't all that fancy either, but it had hot and cold running water and a bed you could lay down on. And oh my soul, it was something else. Hey, listen to me. We took an upgrade. It is an upgrade to go from a room to a mansion. But I guarantee you this, when he says mansions, he means exactly what he says. That is a literal place God has for you, a place he has reserved for you. Now, if you're a child of God, that's the place of where heaven is for you. That's the literal place of heaven. That's the literal place you have inside of the place of heaven. God has all this reserved and set apart for you today. So the question again is, do you have a reservation? Is it set for you? Are you certain? Are you sure? Do you know? Well, Pastor Johnson, I'm hoping that it's going to work out that way one of these days. Can I get you from hope to certainty today? Not by what I say, but what the Bible says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Most often why people do not know for certain they have a home in heaven is because they're trying to work for it. They're working at it. They're working on it. And they hope it's going to work out. We were flying back yesterday. Had to go through Phoenix. That's where the Super Bowl is today, apparently. Bad time to fly into Phoenix on a Saturday. The airport was jammed. There were people everywhere. One lady on the flight sitting next to Pastor Ray, who had gone along with us also, she was going to fly out there and just hope to get a ticket and get in. She'll pay $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 at the door to try and get in to watch a football game. Not wise to go out there without a reservation of some kind. Not wise to live life without knowing for certain you have a home in heaven, when you can be sure. The certainty comes from knowing that you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Have you made that decision, and are you certain of that today? That you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to be that sure, reserved in heaven for you, a place reserved. You know what else is reserved in heaven for you today? There are people there. People in heaven. The sights and the splendors of heaven, quite frankly, will not last that long. Streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. A city four square, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles deep. A city made of precious stone. A wall around the city, 216 feet thick and 216 feet high, with precious stones laid at the foundation of that wall. And then there are gates, 12, 3 in each of the four walls, 100 miles wide, and each gate made of an individual pearl. Gold so pure it's transparent on the streets of this place called heaven. Listen to me. But do you think forever in heaven that what we're going to be impressed with is what heaven looks like? Do you know what will last forever in heaven? The people who are there. Oh, the place will be there forever. No question about that. God doesn't make something and it deteriorates. No question about that. But listen carefully now. The people in heaven is what will last forever. Reserved in heaven for you are those people who have saved and gone on before you. We went to Chicago this week to say goodbye to a dear lady who has been a friend of our family's for over 30 years. She was my age. Contracted cancer. Within 6 months, she was dead. Just that quick. Just like that. Now she's there. Her father died when she was a little girl. She met her dad. All the saved who've gone on before us, they are reserved in heaven waiting for your arrival today. The longer you live, the more we put on that side than we have on this side. And there's a great congregation. You say, Pastor Johnson, you really think that's how it works? That's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible teaches absent from the body, present with the Lord. The Bible says that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And that speaks in Hebrews 11 of all those who've gone before us in faith. And they're there now waiting for us, reserved in heaven for you, the Bible says. There are people there waiting for us. You think about all the loved ones you have. Think about all the friends that you said goodbye to. Think about all those sorrowful and difficult times. A funeral is always a difficult thing. I'll preach a funeral this week again. You know, the truth of the matter is, dear people, there's something sweet about a funeral when you know that person is in heaven. There's just something sweet about that. It's still difficult, and tears will still be shed, and sorrow will still come, but there is heaven on the other side of all of this. And the moment that loved one closed their eyes in death and drew their last breath on this planet, the next breath they drew was heavenly air. And the next sight they saw was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and their loved ones gathered around them, and they're rejoicing in a place called heaven, reserved in heaven for you. Here not too long ago in our church, I think it was 4 or 5 funerals we had within 2 weeks. After that 5th funeral, quite frankly, I was exhausted. You say, our funeral's hard work, Pastor Johnson. Well, you tell me. They're draining, aren't they? It draws the emotion out of you. And there's anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong. Hey, there's nothing wrong with sorrow at a funeral. We suffer loss, and that's fine. Shedding tears doesn't mean you lack faith. It just means you've suffered loss. It's okay. After that 5th funeral, after 2 weeks, I told my wife as we're driving home, I said, babe, I want to go on the next load. I'm tired of saying goodbye from this side. I'd like to say hello from that side. Reserved in heaven for you. All you ladies who've had children go to heaven from your womb, reserved in heaven for you. You'll see the face you never saw and the child you never got to hold. You'll see that child in heaven. They're not babies now. I believe as the Bible teaches that when we see him, the Bible says of Jesus, that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I believe when everyone goes to heaven, they're about the age of 30 or so, as far as their physical form goes. They're there now. Those loved ones who went to heaven with cancer and we say goodbye to them, they don't look like that anymore. God has made everything right physically for them now, and God has made everything right in their location, that place of heaven. They're there, and reserved in heaven for you are those people. Oh, listen, and by the way, reserved in heaven for you are Moses and Abraham and Sarah and Mary. Reserved in heaven for you. They're all there. You don't want to stand with Noah and ask him how that was to work over 120 years on the ark, with having never seen a raindrop fall from heaven. I want to talk to Joshua about what it looked like when the walls of Jericho fell down flat. Can you imagine what it'd be like to walk with the people of faith and learn from people who invested in your life centuries before you were ever born? Reserved in heaven for you. There's the place of heaven. There's the people of heaven. An old friend, listen to me. There are the promises of heaven. Look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. There's the promise of an inheritance, the Bible says. Well, that's the mansion you get, Pastor Johnson. No, that's your living place. Well, that's the streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper. You get a piece of that, yes, but see, the Bible tells us in the book of, I won't ask you to turn there, but it says this, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen now, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Joint heirs. Do you know what that means? Everything God has, you have a part of that. Well, I think that's everything, isn't it, Pastor Johnson? You think correctly. The inheritance is the fullness of all the promises of God brought together. All of them. All the some 3,000 or 4,000 promises in the Bible. You get an inheritance to see all of those promises fulfilled. Abraham and his descendants, the people of Israel, they will walk this earth. That's why the earth will never be destroyed. God will see to it that the earth is kept because he promised to Abraham and his descendants a portion of that land, the Holy Land. And they get that and they will be there. And we will see this. We will see the fulfillment of all his promises. The inheritance of God comes in. You don't get a piece of paper. You don't stand up in a probate court and a decision is made about what you had. It's already determined. It's set. It's sealed. And it's reserved in heaven for you. The promise of his inheritance. The promises that things, look at verse 4, that things will that we know will never corrupt. See the statement? Look at it again. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. What you receive in eternity forever, my friend, reserved in heaven for you, will never grow old. It'll never fall apart. No one's going to come along later on and gut out the retirement fund. These dear people today who have spent all their lives investing and preparing for their future with promises made to them by companies only to turn around and have it ripped out from underneath their feet. That's a tragedy, frankly, and it's a sin. For someone to make a promise to you and not keep, that's a sin. That's a corruptible promise. God's promises are not corruptible. Look at me. We're not going to go to heaven and walk around those optimistic, pessimistic people saying, boy, it sure is beautiful. Wonder how long it lasts. Sure is pretty. Do we get to keep it for a while? Sure, it's nice to be here, but I wonder how it's all going to end. Are we going to have to start this all over again? Did you see any serpents? Was there a tree? Is there going to be a problem? Incorruptible, the Bible says. Incorruptible. Nothing's going to happen to that. It will never be, you know, rust in heaven. You go, folks from the Midwest, you know what rust looks like on cars out there. When they salt the roads, we used to call them Indiana rust chickens. Cars going down the road with the sides completely gone. They flap like a chicken running through a barnyard. And cars just falling apart. That's not what heaven is like. No corruption in heaven. No defilement in heaven. No defilement in heaven. No Satan in heaven. No sin in heaven. No sorrow in heaven. No reverse in heaven. No loss in heaven. No goodbye in heaven. Nothing defiles it there. There will be after diverting of the eyes when you walk somewhere. You won't have to wonder about what you see. Everywhere that you go, it's pure, it's perfect, it's right, it's beautiful, and it's reserved for you. I'd like to just go somewhere and have a meal and sit down and eat without wondering about the filthy mouth of somebody sitting behind me. I'd like to sit in the airport without some guy who's deaf talking on a cell phone. There's a guy, again, every time I go somewhere, these clowns get on the phone. People, listen to me. Yelling into a cell phone does not make you heard better. I want to go over and take the phone away from the guy and say, you don't even need this. Just open the door and talk. Wherever they are in America, they can hear you. Because we're over here and we can hear you just fine. The defilement of life reserved in heaven for you. Look at me, friend. It's a perfect place. It's a pure place. It's a place where nothing's remembered about you that's bad. And you don't remember anything about anybody else that's not good. You don't pass somebody in heaven and go, that guy owes me $5. Never again. You ask my older brother Jack, 2 years older than me. We were kids at Camp Casadero down by Russian River. I went to the snack bar to get my favorite thing at the snack bar, a French apple pie. By Hostess, one of those little crescent-shaped jobs with the extra sugar on it. You know the difference between French apple pie and an apple pie is? French apple pie has raisins in it. I like raisins. And it was a French apple pie. It was almost the last day of camp. I had my last quarter. I bought me a French apple pie. I'm walking along. I'm opening up this French apple pie. The worship service had begun. And I was about ready to tear into this French apple pie. And I pulled back the wrapper, and I went to bite it. And my brother walked up and went, and hit my elbow. And it flew out of my arm and landed in a mud puddle. Now, when you're 9 years old, you're still thinking, if I get it quick, I can still eat it. Nope. Nope. It's gone. Ask my brother Jack today what he owes me. I'd have let him off the hook a long time ago. He'd just give me my quarter back. He wouldn't even give me the 25 cents. He owes me 25 cents or a French apple pie. And they don't make them anymore. And don't give me one because I can't eat them right now. But the truth of the matter is, you're not going to see people in heaven and go, hey, 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 that guy lied to me one time. Reserved in heaven for you, a pure and perfect place. God said it's like that. No one's going to heaven looking over their shoulder saying, my hope. I hope these people don't remember the failures of my life and the mistakes that I've made. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone, buried in the blood of Jesus Christ and wiped clean from the slate of God's justification. Reserved in heaven for you. Promises. Beautiful promises. And the last thing reserved in heaven for you is verse 4. It says, which fadeth not away. That's permanence. It's not a dream. I told my wife, I can't even tell you the dream I had. It wasn't wick or anything. I had the craziest dream this morning. I'll tell you anyway. I dreamed I showed up to church and forgot my pants. I was thinking so much about the message today when I went to bed last night. I was dreaming. I'm walking into church and I felt, it sure is cold in here. I'm going to get Brother Evans to turn the heat up. And I looked down and there's my white leg sticking out. I had my suit coat, shirt, and tie on, but I'm standing there. And I thought, oh, my soul, ran down the hallway into my office yelling, get Brother Evans, quick! You're going to have to go home and get my pants for me. Where were you? I woke up laughing. I did. I woke up laughing. I thought, what in the world? My goodness. Some things, they just fade away. My parents divorced when I was young. As a boy, I had a dream, a recurring dream. It wasn't that one. It was another one. When we lived with my grandparents, I'd dream. I'd be laying in bed, and I'd hear voices in the front room. And I'd walk out there in my pajamas as a little boy, and my mom and dad were standing there with arms around each other, crying. And they'd say, son, we got back together again. And we're going to put our family back together again. I couldn't tell you how many times I had that dream as a boy. To wake up, and look into the dark of the night, say it was another dream. That would just fade away. Not what's reserved in heaven for you. It's a place of permanence. And fadeth not away. Believe me, friend, you won't be reaching for something in heaven and it just disappear like it's some kind of ethereal existence. Everything is real and everything is right in heaven. Everything is pure, everything is perfect, and everything is permanent. It's every joy we have in our lives today, every one of them is tainted in some way, isn't it? Everyone. There's some end to it. There's going to be, there'll come a moment that it'll all be over. We'll be finished with this. Every pleasure you've ever had in life lasted just long enough for the pleasure to be enjoyed and the memory to be remembered, but there was always an end to it. In heaven, nothing fades away. Nothing. And that's reserved for you, friend. Do you have a reservation this morning? If you do, how does it affect how you live your life right now? Really, seriously. Are we going to have to go home and really think about whether or not we go to church on Sunday night or are we going to watch the Super Bowl? Think about it for a moment. 25 years from now, no one's going to even want to know or care who did, who didn't. It isn't going to make any difference whatsoever. People will spend $3 million for a 30-second commercial to sell potato chips or beer. And when it's all over and said and done, people are going to go, who was that again now? Well, they were on the plane flying from Chicago to Phoenix. How does it affect your life this morning, knowing you have a reservation, my friend, reserved in heaven for you?